It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. Our host is Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. It's great to have you wherever you may be listening this morning to another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio as we get ready to take you outdoors. Even during these cold months of winter here in the state of Utah, so many great things to get out and enjoy. We're going to share some of those things coming up over the next 2 hours. Reminder again that we're recording this program on Thursday, and as we look ahead to the weekend, it's going to be a snowy one again. We got a little break midweek, but it's coming back with snow expected Friday, Saturday, Sunday, although the bigger part of the storm could be Friday and Sunday. Warmer temperatures, too, which is going to be welcomed by many. Tim Hughes in the studios of Broadcast House, KSL, in Salt Lake City. And Navinomskis joins me this morning. Navi is hanging out, I think, watching game shows now.
I don't watch game shows.
Old retired man up there.
Latter part's true.
I thought maybe you'd be testing your knowledge on Jeopardy or something.
Yeah, but that's at 6 p.m.
So you do watch game shows.
Well, if I do, that's the one I watch.
I wouldn't even have known what time it was on TV.
Well, I know that one, but I'm not. Let's make a deal or whatever it is in the daytime. No, thank you.
Price is right. Nothing like that, huh?
No. Yeah.
How's retired life?
It's really good. It's really good. There's this thing I've lost in my life. I can't remember. Oh, it's called an alarm.
Can't remember what it is. You know that's my hot button, so you're going to rub that in a lot.
Well, it's everybody's. I mean, I loved my job. I loved going to work. I hated to wake up.
Yeah, I know. And when you have to do it at 3 a.m., it's even less fun. So it is one of those things. You want to tell everybody what your segment idea was for the show? We didn't get a chance to do it this week.
Okay. Look, we're going to do a segment called Sauna with Navi.
And your idea is to somehow get a recording device into your sauna.
Right.
In your backyard and just walk people through the experience of what it feels like to have burning flesh?
Well, they wouldn't walk through it. They'd run for sure. But it's a lot of fun in there. The banter, the hoop, the hollering, the oohing and the aahing, and it's all good.
Yeah.
And I think, whenever we do something great, Tim, you know I want to share it with our audience.
I know. We talked about this several weeks ago, but Becky and I came back out to your place and we had a second round of it as a little opera with some nice chili that Gail had prepared in the crock pot. And then we went out and did a little sauna. Part of this experience would have to be standing under the freezing cold bucket of water outside, wouldn't it?
No, it's half the experience. It's not a part of it. If you don't do the bucket, you really haven't sauna. Now, you could go through the ice. A hole in the lake would be great. Or rolling in the snow is also good. But those are your three options. If you do sauna and you eliminate that part of it, you're not doing sauna.
Well, we're figuring out a way to do it without ruining a recording device. So we'll we'll figure that part of it out.
We need a drone.
And then maybe a drone inside the sauna?
Just above us when we pull that bucket string.
Nobody wants to see this, I guarantee it.
That's why we do radio, too.
They may think it's funny to listen to, but they don't want to see you in a bathing suit.
Of course not.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a future segment for the program. Let's talk about what's coming up today. News of the week here in just a few minutes. There are several things that are drought-related, water-related, including the fact that the salt flats have been flooded. I don't know if you followed that story this week.
Yeah, I have, and that's a good thing. This is all good news.
Yeah, and even those that love to get out there and try and set some world records for land speed say that this is a good thing for the salt flats. First of all, it's a lot of water. But secondly, it settles the crust. I guess it creates more of a crust on the surface of the salt flats. So it's good for the racing
It makes the salt flat.
Yeah. That's
why
they
call it. That's what caused it.
That's why they call it the salt flats.
Correct.
And we've got some new drought information that we'll pass along in our news of the week in just a couple of minutes. Jeanette Petros with the Incanab Tourism down there is going to join us and talk about a Balloons and Tunes event that always happens around President's Day. And Bob Grove helped to set that up, so we'll look forward to sharing that with you in the next half hour. And you've got actually time to plan it if you want to get down there. I'm sure the temperatures are delightful in several weeks in that part of the state. We'll, however, on President's Day, be back in Steamboat as a part of the annual pilgrimage, won't we?
Yes, absolutely. I can't wait.
For people that don't know, an Icon Pass, which we try and encourage people to take a look at, or the Epic Pass, enables you to ski a lot of different places. But with the Icon, you actually get a season pass at Steamboat, even though we're only there for, what, 4 or 5 days during the winter months in February.
Well, that's you and Becky. Gail and I are going to be there for 19 days.
19?
Yeah, maybe 18. Got to do the math. But, yeah, I wanted to get 2 weeks, but not quite.
All right. So that's coming up for us anyway. Mark Hadley joins us. They're a little concerned about the deer herd in the state. Some of the studies that they've done show that, and I'm sure this has a lot to do with the amount of snowfall that's out there, that the body weight, the body fat of some of the deer that they've taken a look at is a little behind. It's a little underwhelming. So there's some emergency deer feeding that's going to be going on. So we'll share how that's all taking place. Road tripping with the boys. I haven't heard from Mark or Bob just yet about where they may be taking us, but we'll look forward to it. Craig Gordon's going to join us with an avalanche report, and we'll figure out snow day. And then Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge and Trax Power Sports. He's got a couple of big events that are happening at the cabins at Bear River Lodge that we'll share with you. One of them, I think, is it this weekend or is it next? Where he's got a woman's snowmobile ride that Jamie is heading up out there that gives ladies the opportunity to ride machines with other ladies. Roger will be heading that up as a guide, but there's also an opportunity to have dinner, and you can spend the night in one of the cabins and just get to know some other ladies that may get out and enjoy some of the things you enjoy. And then hopefully you've got a fish bites for us this morning.
Of course. I won't let you down. We're going to talk about the brown trout specifically today.
Yeah, we talked a little about the spawn of many of the species last week.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll look forward to that coming up from you a little later. I did pull this morning, and I was a little surprised, although if you're looking at these numbers, I guess it makes sense that Utah's Mighty Five park visitation dropped by about 7% in 2022. Part of that is because the attendance was so darn high during the pandemic.
Right. The COVID experience brought everybody to our parks, and then the world opened up last year, so we lost the percentage for sure.
Yeah, but when we tell you it's down 7%, we can balance that out with the actual numbers at a little more than 10.5 million people visited right. Five national parks last year, down from 2022. And it actually, as I understand it, puts us in line with what the numbers were in 2017, that according to Vicky Varela, who's the managing director of the Utah Office of Tourism. So a little bit of a roller coaster, but I guess not much of a surprise.
Not a surprise at all. I mean, look where we went last year. We went overseas because we could. And the year before, we were all domestic. So, yeah, it's a natural evolution.
And then there are some other reasons. Visiting places like Powell was down, which makes sense. People have heard and seen some of the pictures of the water challenges there. It dropped almost 10% from 2021. And Timpanogos Cave National Monuments in Hovenweep, actually, the monument there experienced some increases closer to a population center here along the Wasatch Front, though neither really brings in big crowds. The latter drew just about 156,000 people, talking of Timpanogos Cave, representing a 27% jump from 2021. So, good news. Still a lot of people out there taking advantage of what this beautiful state has to offer.
Oh, absolutely. That caving, spelunking is cool, literally.
Yeah. And so you don't have to wait for warmer temperatures to see some of these things. We'll talk more about winter activities coming up in a minute. Let's take our break here. That'll give us a little more time on the other side to do some news of the week, and we'll talk about those stories that are water-related. Some good news when it comes to the drought here in Utah and really all over the West. Stay with us for that next here on KSL and KSL Outdoors Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio.
Tim and Navi today. Before we get to any of the news of the week, I do want to mention why Russ Smith is not with us today. Our condolences go out to Russ and his family. His father passed away yesterday afternoon, I believe, so he is headed down to Delta to make some final plans for his father, who lived quite a life. And I think was around 90, maybe a little bit older than that. And not a surprise, but these things are always tough to digest. So his father passed away, and we send our best wishes to he and his family this morning. All right, let's talk about some of the news of the week that I had grabbed to pay attention to. One of them we just talked about was the flooding out on the Bonneville Salt Flats. And one of the geologists out there who has studied the salt flats for years said it is the wettest he's ever seen it, which is pretty.
He's young, Tim. Everybody I talk to, they go, well, you have snows of 94 and all over, awesome. How about the snows of 83? And then everybody looks at me and go, you were alive then?
Yeah, well, you have to go back quite a ways.
Right.
And this particular geologist, his name Jeremiah Bruneau, has only been studying the salt flats for 6 years. So it makes sense that it would be the biggest he's seen.
For sure.
But he says it's extremely diluted. Not unusual to see flooding out there. Last year's Speed Week event was actually canceled because of it, which people may be surprised unless you heard the reporting on it back then. They said that the usually desolate white raceway now looks more like a giant puddle, and all of that salt that dissolves when we have all this rain is not going anywhere, so it just settles and, as I mentioned, may make a better base for the land speed record attempts that take place out there. So all in all, it's great news.
Yeah, for sure. One thing about we had a little more summer rains, which we never used to have. So our climate is changing. It's definitely drier. But we are getting the summer rains, monsoons a little bit, and that's causing the problem with Speed Week.
Well, and the hope is, and I read just a headline the other day and didn't get a chance to read too much behind it, but some folks were excited about the fact that the La Nina seems to be moving out and El Nino is settling in, which is sort of a 50-50 chance for us, as we've talked about before, on whether we get a wet or a dry year. But the hope is that maybe this is just the beginning of what could be a 5 or 6 year wet cycle.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
With the La Nina, that line that really changes everything. On what side of the line you fall, and Utah is the cusp. The line goes right through us, and sometimes it's north of us, which is bad, and sometimes it's a little south, which is good, where we are this year. So this has been an exceptional year because we are on the right side of the line.
Yeah. Your son Mickey actually moved north to find snow and
right?
have more consistent snow, and now he's coming down here
every
weekend.
No, that's absolutely true because I'm coming down to you. Don't brag.
So here he is down from Montana because everything's just hitting us just right. And more coming this weekend, as I mentioned a minute ago. All right, now to the drought. While almost one-fifth of Utah remains in at least extreme drought status, no parts of the state are listed in exceptional drought, which is the worst drought category. That's according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. About 56% of the state was in extreme drought So more than half, including nearly 4% in exceptional drought at the start of the water year, October 1st. So that's great news. I mean, obviously, we're not through this. We've got more than a long way to go. But more than 96% of the state remains in at least a moderate drought. It has made a big, big difference, though, in where we were.
It's fantastic, Tim. It couldn't be better. And the only thing that could be better is if it continues. I mean, we still have the opportunity to almost break a record. And what better year to have a huge, you know, groundswell of water in such a bad time with us.
Yeah.
So this is going so good. Keep our fingers crossed. It ends well.
Here's a number that actually will make sense or help make sense of how good we're doing. The result of this active pattern means that the statewide mountain snowpack or the water from the snowfall is now up to 14.5, well, a little bit more, almost 15 inches, which is nearly 180% of normal for this point of the water year. That's according to the Natural Resources Conservation Service data. The figure is only 1.1 inches below the normal peak that typically happens in early April. And we still have the snowiest months of the year ahead of us, hopefully.
Right. So we have 400 inches, which is really good snowpack. But the best part about that, this is some of the wettest snow we've ever had. So the water amount in our snow is exceptionally high, and that's just going to bode well for our drought.
Alta may well set a record this year.
Well, that's optimistic. We're only halfway through it, but yes.
Yeah. I said May.
Yeah? So, well, hopefully by May it's still going.
We'll stick with it. Hey, they may be skiing on the tram at Snowbird on July 4th.
Right.
If it continues this way, at least on the top half of the mountain. Then one more thing I wanted to add, because I did put a link on our Facebook page. The 2023 ice fishing seminar for Strawberry Reservoir already happened, and they realized not everybody can attend. But what they did this year was record it. So if you want to just watch what was taught at the seminar, you have the opportunity to do that. It's on a YouTube channel, and I put the link on our Facebook page. We were talking about ice fishing last week with the Division of Wildlife Resources, so you may want to look that up. Just look us up on Facebook at KSL Outdoors Radio. All right, a break. We've got a news update, and on the other side, in the next half hour, Jeanette Petros' Balloons and Tunes event is coming up on President's Day weekend in Kanab. We'll tell you about it.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.